Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So, Brandon, start with you. What questions did you have about the offense heading into spring, and do you feel like you got them answered?
Questions coming into the spring. I feel like, for me, it was just a matter of, is the offense going to establish its identity? And I feel like we did a pretty good job of that throughout the spring. Obviously, we're trying out some new stuff in the run game and stuff like that, but base offense, I feel like we did a good job establishing ourselves and kind of finding that identity that we're looking for.
What's up, y'all? We are back with another edition of the DNVR Rams podcast. As always, I am Justin Michael. We open there with a little bit of audio from Braden Fowler-Nicolosi after the green and gold game. We're going to play some more audio from him in just a second. I'm also going to get into my takeaways from the spring game, dive into the significant moments, talk about a couple of the standouts. I will say, before we get started here, the spring game was kind of anticlimactic as a whole. A lot of starters were inactive or extremely limited, basically inactive. So I just want that to be clear. I'm not going to try and make this some big ordeal. Act like this was the most accurate representation of what this team is going to be or something, because it's just not the case. When you have double-digit starters out, the offense did struggle for the green team, that's for sure. They only had 3 first-half points. They didn't technically even score enough to overcome the 21-0 deficit that the ones begin the day with. But again, more than half of the starting offense wasn't even playing in this one, so I just don't really know how much you're supposed to take away from that. I would expect the offense to be a little out of sync if the majority of the O-line wasn't playing, and your skill guys as well. I'm going to play some more audio here from BFN, and then I'll get into my takeaways, talk about the standouts and all of that. Real quick, trucks have always been a part of Toyota's DNA for generations. Toyota has built durable legends destined for greatness and perfect for Colorado. Whether you're conquering off-road trails or hauling the weight of the world, there's a Toyota truck that's just right for you. Like the all-new 2024 Tacoma and the return of the iconic 2024 Land Cruiser. Toyota offers 17 models with available all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive like the Epic 4Runner. Toyota also offers more low and zero-emission vehicles combined than any other automaker to give customers numerous choices to reduce their carbon footprint. There are 16 different hybrid vehicles to choose from, like the Tundra iForce Max hybrid truck. Not to be outdone, Toyota SUVs take command on the road and on the trail so you can explore the road less traveled without sacrificing smooth city rides in SUVs like the RAV4 and Grand Highlander. Toyota is a proud partner of CSU Athletics and the official vehicle of DNVR. I don't know about you guys, but I hate trying to buy tickets with most ticketing sites, but with Game Time, it's smooth, it's convenient, and best of all, I can get awesome deals up to the last minute. Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace in Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier, and the prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer that it gets to first pitch. With Game Time, you can save up to 60% buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, and theater. You can save more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game or the event with some of their flash deals. They've got zone deals where you pick the zone, Game Time picks the seats for even more savings. With the lowest price guarantee, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference if you can find a ticket in the same row, same section for less. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the app, create an account, use the code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Again, create an account, use that code DNVR for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed.
Ray, what's the, I guess, the off-season goals from here until fall camp starts for you?
Get bigger, stronger physically, and then establish that connection even more with my receivers. Continue to do the individual work with them, the extra work off the field that will translate so that we're on the same page when we get to Saturdays.
How much do you feel that's progressed with, you know, like a guy like Ollie that just came in and, you know, through these 15 practices?
I think that's it's been a big deal, and that's all credit to them because they want to. They'll ask me. I'm not out there having to say, like, guys, come on, stay after practice. Let's get extra work. They're pulling me aside like, hey, we got extra work. Let's go. And so it's huge props to those guys. They're always ready to work, and we see them every day too out there an hour after practice still getting work in and still trying to be great.
How big is it to have that veteran presence as like Donovan, Torrey, Cockney, especially just given – you got to replace 100 catches between the receivers that left
and Holder. I think it's huge. And that's kind of the aspect of that mentality of wanting to get better. It comes from those guys and is passed on along to those younger dudes. And the younger dudes do a great job of responding to that and trying to become those leaders as they grow as well.
Your personal checklist this spring, what was it? And how do you feel like you made gains?
My personal checklist, I mean, the mental game was huge for me this spring. The be smarter with the ball, don't panic, and understand situations. So understand when to take shots, stuff like that. And I feel like throughout this spring, I've done a pretty good job of eliminating those kind of dumb decisions and taking care of the ball. And then all the mental aspect that comes with that has definitely progressed.
How much of it do you feel help? I mean, obviously, you come in the number one. Last spring, you were the three. You weren't getting as many reps. Matt brought that up. How much did those extra reps help you, you think, this spring?
I think they were huge. Any reps you can get is great reps. And so being able to go against these guys every day consistently now is huge for me so that I'm able to see different looks that I might not have with less reps and prepare myself mentally and physically for the season.
All right, that was BFN talking about a variety of things, including gaining chemistry with some of the veteran receivers like Donovan Ollie, some of his goals for the offseason, including getting bigger and stronger. I wanted to play some of that audio, though, because I did think, although the offense kind of struggled in this one, they only scored two touchdowns. Ollie caught about a four-yard slant, and Damian Henderson rushed for a five-yard touchdown in the second half. That was set up by a scoop and almost near scoop and score, but a fumble recovery from Boom Jock. We'll talk more about him later on the podcast, but that was definitely one of the key defensive plays. Nevada transfer Isaiah Assisima, he had an interception at Giles Pooler in this one. We'll play some audio from Jay Norvell talking about him later on. He's a guy who I'm really excited about. Boom as well. There weren't a ton of starters. I mean, a lot of guys were out in this one. Blackburn has been out most of the spring. Jack Howell played a little bit early on, but then he was limited. Cam Baratow was really limited, which makes sense. You can't afford to lose those guys, especially interior defensive linemen. No Chase Wilson. It was just a ton of guys that aren't necessarily going to be playing together this fall, that probably don't have a ton of experience playing together. So there really was not a lot of chemistry or continuity on either side offensively. Four of your five starting offensive linemen weren't playing. Torrey Horton didn't play a single offensive snap. He went back there and fair caught a couple of punts. But, I mean, no contact. Why would you risk him? You know he can catch a ball. You didn't have Justin Marshall on the field. Norvell mentioned he had gotten hurt earlier. Also might have some academic stuff. The point is, this was just not the unit on either side that you should expect to see this fall. And that's why you shouldn't really worry about the results. The white team, they're the world. It's the starters versus the world. Green team was the quote-unquote starters, but again, a lot of people out. They began with a 21-0 deficit. They did outscore the World 17-7 in the game, but obviously that's not enough to overcome the deficit. If I wanted to be a hot take artist, I could probably try and construe this into a bigger deal than it really is, when the reality is that this spring game in the format that we used to know it, like a basically a true contact game between ones and twos, you're not really going to have much more of that in the future. The injury risk is just so high. It's become harder and harder to even have, and especially with the portal, like it's hard enough to even have consistent numbers to put any type of quality product out there. There's just not a lot to be gained by it. We've seen some schools basically abandon it altogether. Ole Miss, they did, I think, like a non-contact 7-on-7s and made it a whole fun ordeal for the fans. They had a hot dog eating contest and a dunk contest, and maybe that's what you try and make it more of like a spring homecoming and make it like a celebration of the program going into the off season. I still think there's value in getting the community on campus in the spring and having everybody come support the program. But I don't know if you really need a spring game that much moving forward. Just that's my opinion. You still need to go live every now and then, but you get those reps and the other scrimmages and practice anyways. I don't know. I just feel like half the teams end up having to have a greatly modified product or end up canceling it because of lack of numbers. And it seems like the only reason we still do it is just because the tradition of it all. And I'm a big proponent of keeping tradition alive in college football. I'm just not sure if it's really a product worth continuing, like especially if you're trying to get people to come up. Like, there were a lot of better things you could have done with your day on Saturday, even as a diehard CSU fan, and I'm all for people supporting the program, but there was just a better way you could use your Saturday than sitting up in the cold to watch what we got to watch. It just isn't very entertaining. There's not a ton of value in it. It's not to say that it's valueless. There are some things we can take away from it, and obviously I'm about to get into it, but that's my two cents on spring games and whether it may be time to kind of move on with that. Getting into the takeaways and observations as far as the starters go, while a lot of guys were out and we didn't get to see them, it did kind of give you an idea of what the projected pecking order is going to be. For instance, Justin Marshall, likely your starting running back, but it looks like if I had to anticipate what the order would be, then it would be, you know, a combination of Kobe Johnson and Damian Henderson, followed by Avery Morrow and Keegan Hollis, both guys that have kind of proven themselves at some point. Keegan Hollis coming off of that ACL injury, but he was running hard out there. You know, it wouldn't shock me if we see him on the field at certain points. With no Torrey Horton at wide receiver, I was interested to see who was going to potentially break out, especially now that Justice Ross Simmons is gone. Between Justice Ross Simmons and Lewis Brown and Dallin Holker, that's over 100 catches of production that they're going to have to make up for this season. It looks like Donovan Ollie is going to be that number two wide receiver, big body, great athlete. I'm really excited about his potential. Then I would say probably Dylan Goffney and Caleb Goody would be the next guys in the rotation, kind of followed by Dane Olsen and Dawson Menegatti, which is interesting to me because I have a lot of respect for those guys. They have earned their role on the field. It also kind of speaks volumes about some of the younger guys like Makai Fox that he still can't crack the two deep over them. At tight end, I didn't see a ton. I mean, Vincent Brown, they tried to get him the ball a little bit. I think one of them was actually intercepted. Another time he kind of got locked up in coverage, being completely honest. You know, I think Jackson Warren's going to be that starting tight end who Norvell in the postgame presser kind of compared to, you know, Cole Turner and Dallin Holker and types of the production that he anticipates him putting up. That would be huge. But, you know, we have not seen a ton out of Vincent Brown yet. Mason Muau, I believe, has some academic stuff. Jordan Williams has been injured at times, but, you know, we haven't really seen much from him since his freshman year. I wonder if maybe that's a position you try and add another piece. The group I feel pretty good about at the moment is probably the offensive line. I just think the depth is in such a better position than it's ever been these last couple of years. They really had to rebuild that offensive line from the ground up. The size, the athleticism, it's just a different group of cats than what we saw a couple years ago. And what's really encouraging is some of the young guys that you've recruited and brought in are really starting to make a name for themselves. I think Tanner Morley is going to play a lot this year. I've been excited about him since they brought him in out of Valor Christian. Aaron Karras, a Pomona grad, he's another guy who I expect to be in the rotation. Both those guys could play tackle, but I think we'll see them more at guard. You're hearing great things about Ader, Burry, and Chea, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm going to continue to get that. They call him Big A. Alex Foster, the Utah Tech transfer, I think he'll be in the two deep at offensive tackle, will get some rotation. Keegan Hamilton, you know, in the interior, he's been good since coming back from injury. I just like that, heaven forbid, if a guy were to go down for a game or two, hopefully nothing worse than that, you would feel pretty good about some of these guys that they can kind of plug and play. I feel really good about the returners. I mean, Jacob Gardner's an all-conference type player. Drew Moss and Savion Henderson were both terrific last year. Love to have them back. We didn't see any of those three in this one. So again, while the offensive line, they didn't get dominated or anything, but they weren't killing it. You got to remember you're missing 60% of your starters. And even so, they did kind of adjust as the game went on. I felt like in that second half, the third quarter especially, you felt the offense gain a little bit of traction. That's when they scored both touchdowns. I really like what Bill Best has been able to build in the trenches. I think he's a really good offensive line coach. I'm excited. This is the best I've felt about the two deep with the offensive line in quite a while. You're probably going to go back to like early Bobo years. The difference with size and athleticism with these guys is definitely jarring. You can see where the Rams were lacking, you know, for a couple of years when it comes to recruitment, because they brought some big time guys in. And what's awesome is a couple of them are homegrown Colorado kids, which, you know, that's especially the local talent that you want to be landing. Flipping things over to the defensive side, even harder to gain takeaways from the defense because it was such a hodgepodge group of players out there. You know, you had a couple of guys like Howell that played early and then didn't play really at all. Others like Isaiah Assisima, who I thought really stood out. He had multiple PBUs. He's aggressive. I like his ball skills. He's not afraid to go after it. He had an interception of Giles Pooler after he kind of made some plays. You know, he wasn't out there anymore. I feel pretty good about him and Elias Larry. We'll get into some significant visits that were on campus before we get out of here, one of which is a Mountain West transfer cornerback. But both of those guys, I thought, played pretty well. I'm pretty intrigued by Jaden Landrum, Jalen Gardner, Dylan Phelps, some other young defenders, Landrum linebacker. Gardner's a safety, and Phelps, made a couple of plays at corner. I've heard he's had a pretty good spring. If I had to pick just a couple of standouts and say these were the spring game MVPs, I would go offensively Donovan Ollie, and then defensively either Boom Jock or Isaiah Assisima. I think Boom Jock is really poised to have a really good year at linebacker. I like the combination of him and Chase Wilson. I feel better about the linebacker depth than I did coming into the spring. And I've also seen some intriguing stuff out of Drew Rodriguez. You feel pretty good about some of these young guys that could potentially play some rotational snaps for you. The defensive line, you do wonder if they're going to need a little bit of depth. I think they could use another pass rusher. I certainly think they could use another interior defensive lineman, a run stuffer. Cam Baratow has had a great spring. Love that he's back, but you lost a couple of big bodies. And, you know, I think James Mitchell is a guy that can be productive. I think we'll see some Tavis Teote out there. But if you could add somebody with some size and experience, I certainly think it would be beneficial. That's really the key information from the Green and Gold game. The majority of my takeaways, I am going to play some more audio from Jay Norvell talking about what he saw from Braden this spring, what he's seen from Isaiah Assisima. I did, before we got to that, like I said, I wanted to go over some standouts, I wanted to go over some key significant visits that were on campus for the spring game, starting with Mason Bandauer, the top-rated 2026 offensive tackle. He's out of Fort Collins High School. My longtime friend, Jake Bennett, CSU alum, former starting center, is one of his coaches over there. I'd love to see him on campus as well. Always good to see him. I love how active, especially in the trenches, Bill Best has been with some of these significant offensive linemen. He has been the first to offer basically every significant O-line prospect these last couple cycles. A lot of them end up going P5 in the end, Iowa State, USC. I think there was a Purdue mixed in there. But those relationships can always come back around, you know, when the transfer portal comes into play. So it's just great to see them being really active with these key Colorado guys. Would love to see Bandhauer stay in Fort Collins, though. You know, maybe show him some love on social media. 2026 tight end Colby Simpson out of Oak Christian High School in California was also on campus. He's the real deal, really athletic. 6'5", 225 pounds, also plays defensive end. Has an offer from Arizona State, but CSU was his first offer. His older brother we've had on the pod before, Alec, he's really involved in Catapult, really active in the West Coast recruiting scene, deep ties to the staff, so hopefully that can be kind of beneficial for us down the line. And then finally, UNLV transfer corner Ricky Johnson, 6'1", 180, one of the better corners in the league these past couple of seasons, when he's been healthy at least. He was on campus. We've seen him post about a couple of P5 offers. I think Washington State, Memphis also in the mix. We'll kind of see what happens there. Would love to land him because I think he could be a starting corner for CSU, is exactly what they could need. I feel good about Larry. Feel really good about his system, but would just love to add some more experience there. Before we play some more audio from Jay Norvell, now is a great time to sign up for the Circle K Inner Circle. It's a free membership. It's easy to sign up for. You just enter your email and phone number. After that, all you need is your phone number to get the deals. You're going to save 25 cents a gallon for your first 5 fill-ups. That's really clutch. I was making a drive across the state last week, you know, with multiple fill-ups. I saved significant money, was able to probably buy lunch with it. After that, you're going to get rewards on every 6th item. You can get a free any size Polar Pop from Colorado Circle K's by texting DNVR to 31310. That's DNVR to the number 31310. Message and data rates may apply. Periodic recurring messages per month. Terms and conditions can be viewed at CircleK.com. Sign up for the QR code on screen or visit CircleK.com/innercircle for more information. I also want to talk to you guys about Coors Light. Between work, social media, and the choices life throws our way, it's no wonder we're worked up. Coors Light celebrates rising above and choosing a chill mindset. Why not turn a rained-out barbecue into a karaoke house party, or after a tough loss, settle scores with an ice-cold peace offering? Make the choice to choose chill, then reach for a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment. When the mountains turn blue, it's as cold as the Rockies. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. When you embrace a chill mindset, it's a good time to choose chill and crack open a Coors Light. Coors Light is mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Make the most out of the times you choose to chill. Choose Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/DNVR. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Yeah, I think going into spring, you know, we were coming off the season and we really wanted to work on specific things to help us be a better team. You know, I mentioned the run defense and the run concepts on offense. And we've really went back and really drilled the crap out of that. You know, a lot more inside run, a lot more pods, a lot more perimeter blocking, really less plays in practice than we have in the past, and really worked on fundamentals and technique. You know, we wanted to work on a two-minute drill and at the end of the game with our offense and defense and our coverages and at the end of the game. That was a really big point of emphasis for us. You know, our red zone coverages defensively, and just looking at some different schemes on both sides of the ball. I think that's one of the things we always do this time of year. The other thing you want to see your young players and see them, put them in position. You know, we got a lot of young guys on defense, Neuer and Mukende, DeAndre Gill are all young ends that have to show growth and maturity. You know, Cam Barreto had a great spring. You know, we need more bodies inside that can help us stop the run. And so we're looking for some guys to step up there. Tavis Tuioti, we moved back to defense, and he had a good spring. James Mitchell, you know, those are all guys that really need to step up just for us to be consistent defensively playing the run. And so looking at those young guys, guys like Jalen Gardner, you know, Drew Rodriguez, our young linebackers, just trying to see them in as many situations we can this spring to help them improve and get better.
You kind of answered a little bit there, but did you have some players that were you were curious about that have now worked their way kind of into your plans?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, the young linebackers, Boom Jock had a really good spring. It was really important for him to take a step. You know, last year he was a guy who could come in the game and play for a little bit, but now he's expected to call defenses and get people lined up. You know, and with Chase missing most of spring, Boom really had to carry a lot of that load. You know, Jalen Gardner got a lot of work this spring. Our two new corners both played a lot, and I'm really excited about those two guys. So it was really good for us to – I thought our defense did a really nice job the last week or so, really just kind of tying it all together and playing better collectively, and that was really good to see.
You mentioned that you're excited about the new corners. Isaiah Sissama had an interception today, a couple of PBUs. Just what have you seen out of him, and what do you know about him?
You know, I've always loved Isaiah. You know, we recruited him when I was at Nevada. Just really athletic guy, loves to play. He's got a great spirit for playing, a lot of confidence. You know, one of the things about playing corner, you got to have self-confidence, and Isaiah has that. And he's, you know, we didn't like how we played man coverage a year ago. We felt like we needed to be more aggressive, and Isaiah is helping us do that. And I'm really excited about him. He's always got a spark. You know, every day he goes to practices. I'm going to get you one today, coach, you know, and that's the kind of guy you want out there. So we're excited to be back with Isaiah. He was a really good player for us when we were at Nevada, and we're happy he's here.
Kind of big picture, how do you view where Braden is in his kind of development?
I thought Braden had a great spring. I don't think he was great today. He could be sharper. You know, we had a couple guys that weren't out there with him. We didn't do a particularly good job protecting on some of the series, but I'm excited about Braden. I think he can have a great season this year. I think he's built on what he did last year. And I mean, he's our quarterback, you know, and he's a guy we feel like we can build on moving forward. And I think that he can get a lot of players involved. I really like Donovan Ollie. I think Braden is gaining some chemistry with Donovan. Dylan Goffby had a really good spring. And those two guys with Torrey give us three veteran receivers that have played a lot of football. And, you know, we lost some catches with Justice Ross Simmons and with Dallin Hoker and Lewis Brown leaving. You know, we got to make up, you know, over 100 catches. And so I think those guys can do that. I'm really excited about our tight end that's coming in, Jackson Warren. I think he's in the mold of the guys that we've had, you know, Cole Turner and Dallin Hoker, you know, that we've had that have been really productive tight ends. And so I think that gives him another weapon. And but I think Braden is ready to take the next step, and we're excited about that.
No more of any other position groups that you're looking at that you may look to add some depth in via
portal here. Season. We really would probably like to sign a couple D linemen, especially interior guys, bigger bodies that can stop the run. You know, we'd like to sign another corner. We've got a corner on campus this weekend. You know, we may sign a wide receiver if we can get the right guy. You know, so many guys get intimidated about coming here because they see our young depth and they don't feel like they can come in and break the lineup. So, but we'll look at a wide receiver, maybe another offensive lineman. So we'll probably look to add about 4 or 5 guys in the portal. And there's a lot of players, you know, that are getting in there. And I think there's another 70, 80 spring games today. So most people will be finishing spring practice and those kids will start getting in the portal.
Peaches out of palisades, sweet as mama's marmalade. This shit sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. My mama slapped that bass, my sister sang these songs. Dancing under canopies, we thank the trees for all their leaves. We are just some drops of water, together make up seven seas. And one day I'll be like my father, one day I will learn to breathe. I'm choking on the thought that I am not the man I wanna be. I got blood on my shirt, like I wear my heart on my sleeve. She said I look good in red, but that went straight to my head. So now she's rocking my tees, tucked into new Prada jeans. And we ain't spoke in a month, but I just saw her last week. The lipstick stain still on my cheek, like we ain't talk enough. And we always seem to laugh, but never nod at us. So the future's looking grim, it's kinda ominous. And this song ain't about love, that'd be too obvious. See, this is more about lust and all of my misconceptions. And this is more about me and all of my self-deception. I'll tell myself a lie 100 times, don't need corrections. But every night I pray to God, I hope I learn my lesson. And the peaches out from Palisade, and they sweet as mama's marmalade. And this should sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. And my mama slapped that bass, and my sister sang these songs. Dancing hand in hand, we were tripping to left feet. Like a middle school slow dance, no one knew how to lead. But I'm still thankful for these days, they put